Good morning. So we left off lines on the base. Today's daf is mem. We're going to pick up seven lines up from the bottom lamed tes on the base. The Gemara says Ashkechei Rav Sheshes. Ashkechei Rav Sheshes the Rabbah Bar Shmua. So I will say we're still in the middle of the discussion about how you treat the kiddushos of the Gemara at the end of yesterday's discussion. What began as a discussion about Rosh Hashanah ultimately became a discussion about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios in general. So we saw already the position, as stated yesterday, that according to fundamental machlokas as to how you view Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, some wanted to make it like Rosh Hashanah, which was Kedusha Achos, and others wanted to say that no, it's still a din of Shtei Kedushos. So the Gemara tells us, if remember again, we had the story of the deer in the house of the Reish Galusa. So apparently there were non-Jews who went ahead and trapped the deer, and then it was shechted, and the Rabbanim, and they were served to the Rabbanim in the house of the Reish Galusa. So if you remember again, there was a machlokes, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista ate it, because they held that the 2 days of Yom Tov are Shtei Kedushos, and therefore by definition, one way or the other, the meat was permitted now. And Rav Sheshes, who did not eat it, presumably because he held that it was Kedusha Achos. Now the Gemara says, Ashkechei Rav Sheshes, Rabbah Bar Shmuel. Rav Sheshes ran into Rabbah Bar Shmuel, Amar Lei, Tani Mar Midi B'Kiddushos. He said, have you learned anything regarding the sanctity of the Kiddush of Yom Tov, 2 days Yom Tov? Amar Lei, Tanina, we have learned, Modi Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi admits, B'Shnei Yomim Tovim Shal Golios. That Rabbi Yossi admits that the 2 days of Yom Tov, meaning Yom Tov Shnei Shal Golios, that it is Shtei Kiddushos. That is two different kiddushos. So Aralei is interesting. So Rav Sheshes says to Rabbi Shmuel, do me a favor. If you happen to run into Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, lo temalahu velo midi. Don't tell them about this particular ruling. I will say, now why is Rav Sheshes saying this? Because it turns out Rav Sheshes was wrong, right? Because remember, in the case of the meat of the Reish Galusa, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista ate the meat because they felt that Yom Tov Sheni was a din of Shtei Kedushos. And therefore, by definition, the meat was permitted one way or the other. Because one of the days, again, whether yesterday was Chol, therefore it was permitted for the non-Jews to go out and capture the animal, or today was Chol, in which case, again, it was permitted anyway. So Rav Sheshes didn't eat it because he held Kedusha Achas, so he tells Rabbah Bar Shmuel, do me a favor, if you run into Rav Nachman or Rav Chista, don't tell them about this brisa, because then they're going to know that I was wrong. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Lididi Arali Ameimar. So Rav Ashi said to me, Ameimar stated, Hahu Bar Tavia Lo Isyudi Isid. So we'll say, from that, it's still this case in the house of the Reish Galusa. The deer actually wasn't trapped, top of Mem. Ela Michutz L'Tchum Asa. Rather, what happened? It was actually brought by the non-Jews from outside of the Tchum. From outside of the Tchum. Now Rashi points out, Ela Michutz L'Tchum Asa Ubo Bayom. And it happened Mamish on the day of Yom Tov itself. Man the ochol, the one who ate it, savar haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh mutar li Yisrael achen. I will say, remember, under normal circumstances, the halacha is that you're not permitted to benefit from the malacha of a non-Jew. Anything that I can't do, I can't instruct a non-Jew to do it. And in fact, if a non-Jew does it, the halacha is that I may not get benefit from it. I may not get benefit from it. So I will say, interestingly enough, so the Gemara says, so what was the machlokis over here? So now the Gemara is redefining the case. The deer actually wasn't trapped, but rather it was brought from outside the Tchum by the non-Jew on Yom Tov itself, meaning on that very day. So what was the machlokis between the Rabbanon? So the ones who ate it, i.e. Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, the ones who ate it, they felt that when a non-Jew does malacha for a Jew, the results of that malacha are prohibited for the particular Jew for whom the malacha was performed. But someone else is permitted to go ahead and benefit from it. So therefore, the mice of the non-Jews caught the deer for the Reish Galusa. So the Reish Galusa can't benefit from it. But what? But we can. Uman Deloach, on the one who did not eat it, i.e. Rav Sheshes, Savar said, called the Asi Lebe Reish Galusa, Adaita to Kulu Rabbanon Asi. No. The house of the Reish Galusa also was a meeting place for the Rabbanim. And therefore what? Whenever the non-Jew went ahead and did a malach of the house of the Reish Galusa, who did he do it for? He did it for all of those who were done at the table of the Reish Galusa, which would include these rabbis as well. So the Gemara says, V'ho ashkechei, Rav Sheshes l'Rabbah Bar Shmuel. I, but Rav Sheshes, But Rav Sheish, but the Gemara records another episode. Rav Sheish just ran into Rabbi Bar Shmuel and said, "Va'amalei lo hayu dvarim me'olam." The truth is, this story never even happened. Right? For whatever reason, the story got circulated. Rav Sheish, who's one of the people quoted as being part of the story, told just an aside. Told Rabbi Shmuel, "I just want to tell you, the story actually never occurred." Fine. But so we'll say the truth is, for our purposes, it doesn't really matter if the story occurred or the story didn't occur. The story helped for us to bring out this particular machlokes regarding whether or not, and again, we still don't have resolution on it, but whether or not the 2 days of Yom Tov are considered to be Kedusha Achos or Shtei Kedushos. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Ahu Lifta, the Asil Mechuz. What's another interesting case? Lifta is a turnip. It's a turnip. There was the story of a turnip. The Asida Mechuzah that came to the big city of Mechuzah. So let's see what happened. So now, this you'll see why we're talking about a turnip over here. So the turnip was in Mechuzah. And what happened? Nafak Rava, Chazi de Kemisha. Rava saw that the turnip was withered. It was withered. It was, I don't know if withered is the right word. It was wrinkled, shriveled. Shriveled. Okay? So it was shriveled. Shara Rava L'mizban Minei. So what happened? Rava gave permission to sell the turnip, right? To, meaning for a Jew to sell the turnip. I'll say, remember, we'll see this when we get more to the Seches Beitza, but on Yom Tov, you are permitted to sell and to buy certain things. Again, you have to do it on credit, and obviously you can't record it, but Lamaisa, because Ochal Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov, and especially, again, think about it, before the days of refrigeration, people didn't always have, and especially outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have 2 days, people often have to go ahead and buy certain things or get certain things over the course of Yom Tov. So Rava saw that the turnip was withered. So he said, you know what, he permitted the sale of the turnip. Amar, ha vadai me'isma me'ekra. See, interestingly enough, he said, because the fact that it was so withered, this was definitely picked yesterday. This was definitely picked yesterday. So the Gemara says, Mayamrit, Michutz l'tchum asya. So what are we talking about over here? It must have come that it was outside of the tchum. Haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutter li Yisrael acher, v'chol shekein hai, da'adaita denachrim asa. So I will say, why was it permitted to go ahead and transact business with this turnip? Because the assumption over here was that, remember, this was brought in by the non-Jews. So because it was brought in by the non-Jews, so l'maisa, even if you say it was brought in for a Jew, so remember, when something is done for a Jew, it's only usher for mamish, the Jew for whom the malacha was done. But it's mutter for everyone else, and all the more so this one, where the turnips were brought in again by the non-Jewish vegetable salesman. They weren't brought in for Dafka Jews at all. They were brought in for people. So not the Jews aren't people. Right? They were brought in for everyone. So therefore, again, because of that, by definition, one was permitted to transact business with it, to which the Gemara says, Kevan dechaza the kamafish umaisiluhu asul. So I'll say it's actually very interesting. But then, Rava saw something very interesting. He saw that once the Jews began to go ahead and do business with the Gentile vegetable salesman, even on Yom Tov, what ended up happening? The vegetable salesman began bringing in additional vegetables for the Jews. Once that began to happen, that already makes things a little bit more problematic. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, the kamafshi nochrim. The non-Jews were bringing in more. Va'aisi, amar hani vadai adait di Yisrael mafshi, va'aisu va'asruluhu. So I was like, that became the problem. So the Gemara tells the story about the turnip, where originally the turnip came just for the sake of the townspeople. Townspeople were Jews, townspeople were non-Jews, but then when the non-Jewish vegetable merchants began to see that the Jews are going ahead and buying produce even on Yom Tov, they began to bring more produce even for the Jews, and that's when things become complicated. Because the moment again that non-Jews begin to do malacha expressly for the purpose of Jews, that's when the actions themselves become prohibited. We'll say again, remember, the laws of Amir al-Nachri obviously are quite complicated, as we saw in Maseches Shabbos. This idea also, so we're not gonna delve into it too much right now. Say that again. So that's why the Gemara says clearly over here that what Rabba saw was that the sukkah that they were bringing in for the Jews. Meaning, in general, you don't have to make that assumption. In general, if you have a mixed population in the city, you assume it's for the non-Jewish population as much as. But here, what Rabba was seeing was they're bringing it dafkin for the Jews. They brought an X amount, you know, on a regular day. When it was Yom Tov, it was X plus Y. So it was clear that it was being done for the Jews. Once that's happening, he prohibited the Jews to engage in any kind of commerce with the vegetables on Yom Tov. Hano b'nei ginana. The gazaluhu asa b'yom tov sheni. So there were these ganana. Rashi says, b'nei ginana is koshrei kilos. Lechassonim v'nosnim sham hados. These were people who used to go ahead and make a chuppah for chassanim, and they would place hadassim. They would place one of the ways that they would make a chuppah is they would put myrtle branches throughout the chuppah. So what would they do? They would cut down the myrtle branches. On Yom Tov Sheni. So the Gemara says, La'arta shara lehu ravina la'aruchei be la'altar. So immediately after Yom Tov Sheni, so what happened? So Ravina would permit people to smell the myrtle branches. Rabbi said, remember, cutting down branches on Yom Tov is a malacha. These are not Jews who are doing this. So they're cutting down the branches on Yom Tov, and Ravina allowed the Jews, if they wanted to smell, the myrtle branches are have a very fine aroma, so allowed them to smell right after Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava bar Tachlifa l'Ravina, Leisra l'humar, So Rav Bar Tachliva said to Ravina, you should have to stop. You have to prohibit this practice. Why? Because the people in this particular locale were not B'nai Torah. Now, what does it mean if they're not B'nai Torah? So the concern was that if you permit them to go ahead and smell the myrtle branches right after Yom Tov, they will ultimately come to diminish the sanctity of Yom Tov Sheni. So the Gemara says, one second. Maskef l'Rav Shemaya, Taima de'inam B'nai Torah, Ha B'nai Torah Shari. I don't understand, what does that have to do with the fact that they're B'nai Torah and not B'nai Torah? So using your logic, if the people were B'nai Torah, there would be no problem with letting them smell the myrtle branches right after Yom Tov Sheni. So Mara says, there's a bigger issue over here. V'ha v'inan b'chdei she'ya'asu. They both say, in general, when a non-Jew does malacha, and there's the possibility that malacha was done for a Jew, what we do is, we say you could benefit from the malacha after Yom Tov, or for that matter, after Shabbos, but b'chdei she'ya'asu. You have to wait the amount of time that would have taken the non-Jew to perform the malacha after Shabbos or after Yom Tov. This way, again, what that does is it takes away the motivation. Right? Remember, again, we saw this, for example, in the bathhouses. Then Chazal said that after Shabbos, after Yom Tov, you should wait the amount of time that it takes to heat up the water before going to the bathhouse. What that does is it removes any kind of incentive for the non-Jew to do any kind of malacha for the Jew on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, because anyway, I'm going to be waiting the amount of time that it takes to do that malacha after Shabbos. So the Gemara says over here, why, Ravina, are you talking about B'nai Torah, not B'nai Torah? Even if the people of the town were B'nai Torah, you still have to wait after Yom Tov, B'chdei Shiyasu. I'll say, so over here in this case, how long does it take to cut down a myrtle branch? 5 seconds? 10 seconds? A minute? Whatever it is. But the point that Gemara is making over is, Ravina, you should instruct them that they have to wait until after Yom Tov to smell the myrtle branch, the amount of time that it would have taken the Najud to cut the myrtle branch after Yom Tov. To which the Gemara says, as Uzlu, Shailu al Rava. So they went and they posed this kasha to Rava, and Rava said, Amalahu, Ba'inan Bechdei Shiyasu. Enachinami, you need to wait the amount of time after Yom Tov, Bechdei Shiyasu. You have to wait the amount of time that it would take the non-Jew to do the malacha after Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Dosa says, Horvath Nehashwas, if you remember again, so the Mishnah stated this interesting practice of Rabbi Dosa, and Rabbi Dosa said that on Rosh Hashanah, he had the following text in Tefillah. He said, "Hachlitzenu Hashem Elokeinu es yom rosh hachodesh hazeh im hayom ulamachar." He said, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, give us strength on this day of Rosh Chodesh, whether it's today or whether it's tomorrow, And then the next day he would say, "Im hayom im emesh," if it was today or if it was yesterday. And the Mishnah says, "V'lo hod lo chum." The Chum did not agree with this formulation for Tefillah. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba." When we were in the house of Rav Huna, Ibai Lan, he asked us the following question. An interesting kasha. Do we make mention of Rosh Chodesh in the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah? Remember, as much as Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, it's also Rosh Chodesh. So do we make mention of Rosh Chodesh within the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah? Thank you. Okay. So the Gemara says, on one hand, Kevan the Chalukim b'Musafin, Aminan. On one hand, we could say that they each have their own Karban Musaf, right? Rosh Hashanah gets Karban Musaf, and Rosh Chodesh gets Karban Musaf. So because they have their own Musaf, therefore the Ma'aseh they should each get their own mention in Tefillah. Ol Dilma Zikarav Echad Olekan Olekan. Or maybe one Zikarav Olekan, because remember, both Rosh Hashanah as well as Rosh Chodesh are described by the Torah as a Yom Zikaron, as a day of remembrance. So maybe since they're both called Yom Zikaron, one Zikaron, so to speak, is enough. Meaning, the mentioning of one, by definition, includes the other. Amar Lan, they said to us, Tinisua. Tinisua, Rabbi Dosa, Omer, look on our Mishnah. What does Rabbi Dosa say? However, the Fnei Ateva. So what, remember, what does Rabbi Dosa say? Rabbi Dosa says, like we just mentioned before in the Mishnah, that on Rosh Hashanah, remember what he's referring to over here in the Mishnah is Rosh Hashanah. And yet, what does Rabbi Dosa refer to in, how does Rabbi Dosa refer to Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Chodesh. So you see that Rabbi Dosa is making mention of Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, and yet it says, V'chachamim lo hodu lo. The Chum did not agree to him. So the Gemara says, my love lahaskir. Are we not talking about when it says the Chachamim do not agree with him, that the Chachamim don't agree that you should mention Rosh Chodesh? To which the Gemara says, lo, lahasnos. No, the Chacham are not arguing on him about whether or not to mention Rosh Chodesh. What are the Chacham arguing on him about? About whether or not to make this tonight. Remember, Rabbi Dosa included in his tefillah that if today is this, then that, and if tomorrow is that. So the Chacham said, no, 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 we don't do that in tefillah. We don't start making stipulations. Hachinami mistabra, this seems to be clear, midiktani bebraisa, since the braisa says as well, v'chein hayo Rabbi Dosa ose b'roshei chadashim shalkal ha'shana. And Rabbi Dosa wouldn't just daven this way. So Rabbi Dosa's tefillah is a strange tefillah. If today is Rosh Chodesh, then this. And then tomorrow he would say, and if yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, and yesterday was Chol. So he wouldn't only do that on Rosh Hashanah. He'd also do it on Rosh Chodesh. Shalkal ha'shana kula. V'lo hodulo. The Chum did not agree with him. So the Gemara says, I amrit bishlama lahasnos mishum hachi lahodulo. So if you tell me that when it says the Chum didn't agree with him, they didn't agree with him in terms of making a t'nai, then it makes sense. Ela I amrit lahaskir, but if you're talking about making mention of Rosh Chodesh, amai lo hodulo. Why would the Chachamim not agree with Rabbi Dosa that you mention Rosh Chodesh in the tefillos of Rosh Chodesh? And also that second verse is not talking about Rosh Hashanah, it's talking about Rosh Chodesh. So it says the Chum didn't agree with Rabbi Dosa. So it can't be talking about mentioning Rosh Chodesh, because obviously the Chum would agree with that. It must mean what? They didn't agree with the notion of lahasnos, of making this tonight, or making mention, really, of the doubt of the day. So the Gemara says, the elamai lahasnos. But rather, it must be that the Chum are arguing on Rabbi Dosa as to whether or not lahasnos literally means to stipulate. Again, remember, in Rabbi Dosa's tefillah, Rabbi Dosa is saying, if today is Rosh Chodesh Hazeh, if it's today or if it's tomorrow. And the next day he says, if it's today or if it was yesterday. The Chum disagree with that type of stipulation. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, why do you have to argue in both cases? Now the Chum argue in Rabbi Dosa in two cases, in Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. But it's the same dispute. In both cases, Rabbi Dosa is making this stipulation, if it's today, if it's tomorrow, or if it's today, or if it's yesterday, and the Chum disagree with that. So why do you have to disagree twice? To which the Gemara says, Tzricha, you need both cases. Why? V'yashmu'in and Rosh Hashanah, because if what it just told us that he did disagree with Rabbi Dosa and Rosh Hashanah, Hava amina b'ha kami rabbanon, d'lo mishum da'asi l'zal zulebe. I might have thought the reason they disagree with Rabbi Dosa is in the case of Rosh Hashanah, why Rabbi Dosa? Because if you start mentioning in Tefillah that one day is Chodesh and one day is Chol, what's going to inevitably happen? People are going to be mezazah. People are going to negate the sanctity of one of the days because you're telling them in Tefillah that one of the days is not Chodesh. But the truth is, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, because remember, sometimes there was doubt about Rosh Chodesh as well. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, the truth is, there's no zilzul. Why is there no zilzul? Because there's no isra melacha. Right? There's no fear that one's going to treat the day with any less sanctity, because there's no real sanctity attached to the day. Maybe in that case, then, the Rabbanon would agree with Rabbi Dosa that you can make this stipulation in Tefillah. V'i itmar b'ha, if what it just said, Rosh Chodesh, b'ha ka'amar Rabbi Dosa. Aba b'hach imam odul Rabbanon. But if we just said Rosh Chodesh, I would have said in Rosh Chodesh, that's Rabbi Dosa makes a stipulation. Maybe Rosh Hashanah is molded to the Rabbanon. Therefore, Tzricha. Therefore, the Ma'aseh, you need both cases. Mason, where is the Kasha? Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. So now we get into an interesting discussion about tefillah. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So what happens? Beis Shammai Omrim. Beis Shammai say, Mispalo Eser. You have to say Shemona Eser with 10 brachos. Now, Rabbi say, what makes up those 10 brachos? Take a look at Rashi. Mispalo Eser. Shalosh Rishonos V'Gimel Achronos. So the first three, last three. Vishal Shabbos Pithnei Atzma. And Shabbos gets its own bracha. Hare Sheva, Ukidushas Hayom, Kolal Ima, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Shabbos, again, according to Beis Shammai, three in the beginning, three in the end. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros for Rosh Hashanah, that's nine. And Shabbos gets its own bracha. Shabbos gets its own bracha. However, on the other hand, Beis Silo on Mispal Tesha. Beis Silo says, no, you go ahead and you only daven nine. Now, where do they argue? Because Beis Silo holds that Shabbos is included in the bracha of Yom Tov, right? Shabbos. So if you look at Rashi, based on the Mispal Teisha, the Kolal Shabbos v'Yom Tov bebracha Achas v'Chosem Mekadesh Hashabbos v'Yisrael the Yom Hazikaron. So according to Machlokes Shabbos Hill, is the Shabbos get its own bracha or not? Beis Shammai, yes, and therefore 10 in total. Beis Hillel, no, it's included simply in the suffix of the Yom Tov bracha. V'Im Isa Beis Shammai Achat Esrei Miboylei. But if this is true, Rabosai, that in fact on Rosh Hashanah you also make mention of Rosh Chodesh, then how many brachos should there be according to Beis Shammai? There should be 11, right? Three in the beginning, three in the end. So our six bookends, three Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, that's nine. One for Shabbos, 10, and one for Rosh Chodesh, 11. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Shani Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is different. The Mitoch Shekola L'Shachris V'Arvis Kolel Nami B'Musafin. So the Gemara says like this. Take a look at Rashi. Amar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera says, Li'olim Tzarech Lahaskir U'miyo L'Beis Shammai Bracha Ba'an Pei Nafsho Rosh Chodesh Lo Boi V'Elav Mishum D'Zichron Rosh Hashanah Ola Lo D'Mashma D'Chiv Rosh Hashanah Hu Da'ayim Rosh Chodesh Li'i Nami Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So he skipped that. Elo Chose Mekadesh Av Sirov Rosh Chodeshim V'Elchach Rosh Hashanah Nami Chose Mekadesh Sov Yom Zikavar. So the Gemara answers over here essentially that L'Maisa, since already in Shachris and Arvis that ultimately Rosh Chodesh is included within the bracha of the Yom Tov, so too by Musaf will do that as well. So the Gemara essentially answers, it's not, you're right, under normal circumstances, Rosh Chodesh should get its own bracha, but because in the other tefillos of the day, Rosh Chodesh is already included in the Yom Tov bracha, we're not going to have Musaf depart from the structure of tefillah that was already included. So the Gemara says, Umi Islay, Lehula Beis Shammai Kolel. Does Beis Shammai really subscribe to this concept of Kolel? Kolel means that you, this is not like a philosophic discussion. Does Beis Shammai agree to the concept that you could roll Rosh Chodesh into another bracha? So the Gemara says, aye, after all, Vatanya, we learned, Rosh Chodesh Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, Beis Shammai Omrim Mispalel Shmona, Beis Hillel Omrim Mispalel Sheva. So yeah, after all, we learned that according to Beis Shammai, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos Rav Osai, you daven, you have eight brachos. Why eight brachos? Remember, our six bookends, one bracha of Shabbos and one bracha of Rosh Chodesh. Beis Hillel Omrim Mispalel Sheva. Beis Hillel says we only say seven because that middle bracha includes both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, to which the Gemara says Kasha. It's a good Kasha. It's a good kasha, meaning it's a question on the sheet of Beis Shammai. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. The Kola, as Tzavo said, just of course so you know, the way we paskin in this Rosh Hashanah case is like Beis Hillel. Right, that Lamaisa, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Rosh, is that this year? No, this year it's a 3-day Yontif, but it's not Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Yom Kippur Shabbos. So the Gemara brings, so we pass in like Beis Hillel, which means that Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, we say a Shmona Esrei of nine brachos. Three in the beginning, three in the end, Machio, Zichronos, and Shofaros, and then the bracha of Yom Tov, the bracha of Yom Tov includes Shabbos. Total of nine. So the Gemara says like this, V'kolel atzmo tanoihi. And the truth is, I'm sorry? Well, no, because Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros are themselves part of the bracha of are the bracha of Yom Tov. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros are the bracha of Yom Tov. So you have Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, and then you have that concluding paragraph, which is considered part of them as well. So the Gemara says, "V'kolal atzmo tanoihi." The Gemara says the notion of kolel, the notion of rolling bracha, of rolling. It's not, and we're going to see it's not just Rosh Chodesh. It's in general of including brachos or including thematic material with other thematic material is in and of itself a machlokes tanoim. This sanya, again, another interesting case. Shabbos shechal yos b'Rosh Chodesh. If Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh, over Chol Shemoy, the formulation over here is very interesting. So usually Shabbos doesn't fall out on anything, right? Everything falls out on Shabbos. But okay, Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh or Chol Hamoed. Arvis Shachris Umincha, Mispalel Kedarko, Sheva. So for Mariv, Shachris, and Mincha, you dab in a regular Shemona Esrei, which is comprised of seven brachos. The Omer Me'ein HaMa'ora Ba'avoda. And you add in your Me'ein HaMa'ora means literally a paragraph reflective of the theme of the day, of the occasion. And that's enough. And where do you do this? In Mitzay. So for example, I will say for our purposes, what would this mean? Yalev Yavo. Yalev Yavo. And where is Yalev Yavo inserted? In Ritzay. In Ritzay in Avoda. Rabbi Eliezer, says, no, not in Ritzay, but Bahodah, actually in Modim, or really like after Modim. So just for illustration purposes, like where you place Alanisim. Where you place Alanisim. Be'im lo Omer, and if you did not recite this insertion, then what? Then Machzirin Osom. Then you have to go back. Now I will say, that's rooted in the concept of that any time you go ahead and you deviate from the structure of Tefillah as codified by Chazal, it's as if you didn't daven. And therefore you'd have to go back and daven again. Ubi Musafim, and when it comes to Musaf, Maschil B'Shal Shabbos, you begin again with Shabbos, meaning with making reference to Shabbos. Umesayim B'Shal Shabbos, and you end with Shabbos. Va'omer Kedushas Hayom Be'emtza, and you go ahead and you include the Kedusha of the day, meaning whatever other day, whether it's Chol Hamoed or Rosh Chodesh, in the middle. In the middle. So take a look at, not yet. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omrim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka say, Kol Makom Shezakuk L'Sheva, any time that you have a Shemona Esrei of seven brachos, Maschil B'Shal Shabbos, Umesayim B'Shal Shabbos, Va'omer Kedushas Hayom Be'emtza. You begin with Shabbos, end with Shabbos, and somehow insert the other identity of the day somewhere in the middle of that paragraph. So fine, that's supposed to be the Shabbos. Take a look. Okay, we're not to do Rashi's on this. So the Gemara says, "My havi alot." So we'll say now the Gemara comes full circle. First circle is Rosh Hashanah. So let's go. Remember how this whole discussion started? The whole discussion started about Rosh Hashanah. What do we do? Do we make mention of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah or not? So the Gemara says, "My havi alot." So what is the conclusion? Amar Rav Chista, Zichron Echad Ole Lo Lekan. Ulekan. So Rav Chista said, one zichron, one zecher works here and there. Which we'll say is another way of saying that you don't need to mention Rosh Chodesh. Because once you're mentioning Yom Zikaron for Rosh Hashanah, since Rosh Chodesh is also called the Yom Zikaron, that Zikaron of Rosh Hashanah is enough to cover your Rosh Chodesh identity as well. The Chin Amar Rabba, and this is what Rabba says as well, Zikaron Echad Ola Lekan Ulekan. One Zikaron works for here, Rosh Hashanah, as well as for here, Rosh Chodesh. So I will say, that is the Maisa. That's why you'll notice, we make absolutely no reference to Rosh Chodesh in Rosh Hashanah. The truth is, there's another reason for that as well, which the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah brings down the Pasuk of Bakhesa Liyom Chagenu. Right, that Rosh Hashanah is referred to, the Yom Tov of Bakhesa, the Yom Tov where part of the identity is hidden. Right, in the part of the identity that's hidden by Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. So there's a whole variety of reasons that we're not going to get into right now. The Gemara over here is just looking from a pure tefillah perspective. The reason you can get away without explicitly mentioning Rosh Chodesh is because in essence, you are. So you're just covering it under the umbrella of Yom HaZikaron, of ultimately Rosh Hashanah, and because Rosh Chodesh also is referred to as a Zichron, as a remembrance, it's Nichlal, it's included under the Zichron of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore no explicit mention of Rosh Chodesh is necessary. That's Lemaisa. Va'omer Rabba, Ki Avina Beirav Huna, Iba'ilan, was another interesting question. So Rabbi said, when we were in the house of Rav Huna, we posed the following question, or he asked us the following question. Mahu lomar zman be Rosh Hashanah b'Yom Kippurim? Do you say a Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Do you say a Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? What's the Shaila? On one hand, Kevan de Nisman Lizman Asi Amrinam. So we'll say, on one hand, when do you say Shechianu? For something that occurs what we call Mizman Lizman. So we'll say mizman lizman means it occurs infrequently. So anything that occurs infrequently, you say shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. This event occurs infrequently, and thank you Hashem for bringing me again to this particular time. So on one hand, you could say that that's what, since it occurs infrequently, i.e. once a year, you say shechiyanu, o dilma kevan delo ikru regalim lo amrina. Or maybe on the other hand, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Abosah are not regalim. They're not regalim. And maybe the din of Shechyanu is a din in Simchas HaRegel, and therefore it's only said on Sukkis, Pesach, and Shavuos, but not the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. To which the Gemara says, Lo Hava Biyadeh, didn't have the answer. Ki Asoi Bei Rav Yehuda, when he came to the house of Rav Yehuda, Amar, Ana Akra Chanata Nami Amina, Zman. So Rav Yehuda says something very interesting. He said, forget about that. I even say a Shechyanu on a gourd, right? On a new gourd. Which he was saying that I even make a shechiyanu on a new fruit. Look at Rashi. Akra chadata kishani roe dalas chadash mishana l'shana amin ezman. So actually, the interesting lashon of Rashi over here is Rashi actually says that Rabbi Yehuda was saying when I see a new gourd, when kishani roe dalas chadash mishana l'shana amin ezman. When I see a new gourd, when the new crop comes in the new year, I go ahead and I say shechiyanu. So also, it could be literally that he's saying when he saw it. But Pepashas, it could also mean that the Shechiyanu is recited even before you go ahead and you eat it. Right? When you have intention to eat it, the Shechiyanu is recited as soon as you hold that gourd in your hand. The point that Rabbi Yehuda is making is, if you're going to make a Shechiyanu on a gourd, that, you know, that occurs infrequently, right? When the new crop comes in, then what? Certainly you're going to make it on a Shoshana and Yom Kippur. So he responded, Amalei, Rishus lo kami boili. So he says very interesting. So Rabbi Yehuda, so he says back to Rabbi Yehuda, you're misunderstanding my question. I'm not asking if you can recite the Shechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I think it's clear that you can. What's my question? Is there an obligation to recite Shechiyanu? So Rabbi say, here's what we know. On the Regalim, there's an obligation to recite Shechiyanu. The fact that I can recite Shechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's clear, because you're right, it's no less than a gourd. The shaila is there a din of Shechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel said, Ein Omer Zman, Ela B'Shalosh Regalim. Rav and Shmuel are of the opinion that no, we only recite Shechiyanu on the Shalosh Regalim, right? On Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis. Meis facing where is the kasha? Aye, what about the fact? So the pasuk says, "Rabosai and Koheles, tain chilek l'shiva, v'gam l'shmona. Give a portion of the seven, and also give a portion of the eight." What does that refer to? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, shiva elu zayin yimei bereishis. So seven refers to the 7 days of creation. So what does it mean? Tain chilek l'shiva, give a part of the seven. That refers to Shabbos, right? That shat we give to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. One portion of our 7 days of the week to him. Shmona, what's Shmona? Elu ches yimei mila. This refers to the 8th day of the mila. So right, there are 8 days, and I give that 8th day, the baby gives that 8th day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shiva, Elu Shiva yimei Pesach. Seven refers to the 7 days of Pesach. Shmona, Elu Shmona yimei Achag. Eight first, the 8 days of Sukkis, including Shmini Atzeres as part of Sukkis. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Elu Zayin Pesach, Sha'ata Tzarech Lo Seis Chilek L'Kulam. So we'll say, we'll have to see what this means. If the seven refers to the 7 days of Pesach, and eight refers to the 8 days of Sukkis, what portion of these days, so to speak, am I giving? You see, again, if you say that seven refers to the 7 days of the week, then ten chilek l'shiva, the part that I'm giving is Shabbos. Began l'shmona, and the 8th day is Mila, I'm giving part of the 8th day, I the 8th day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it refers to Pesach and Sukkis, what exactly is, what is the portion that I'm giving? Ukishu omer v'gam, and if it comes, and when we say, Rabbosai, now, Shaul HaMelech writes in Koheles, v'gam l'shmona. Now, gam, v'gam, is an inclusionary word. So what is that coming to include? L'rabos atzeres v'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. It comes to include what? Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So also according to this approach, so tein chelik l'shiva, that refers to the 7 days of Pesach, v'gam l'shmona, l'shmona refers to the 8 days of Sukkis, and the v'gam refers to Shavuos as well as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because the truth is, there are really two words in that. The vav is a vav hamosif, right? Is the vav itself is something that has our, and gam is an inclusionary word. So really, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not really two; they're really one. Because whatever is going to be true for Rosh Hashanah is going to be true for Yom Kippur. So it's really so you're using the vav, let's say, for Shavuos, and the gam for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur unit. So the Gemara says, "My lav lizman." So I'll say, what does this mean? That when we say that what does it mean, tain lo, what is it that we're giving up on the Shbaruch Hu on these days? Is it not referring to Shechyanu? And what we're dashing up from this pasuk is that Lemaisa, Shechyanu is recited again on Pesach, on Sukkis, on Shavuos, on Shanin Yom Kippur. Sigmar says, lo, lebracha. No, maybe it doesn't refer to Shechyanu. Maybe it refers to what? To just lebracha. Rashi says, maybe what it means is that on each of these days, there is a special bracha that reflects the Yom Tov in Shmona Esrei. Hachinami Mistavra, this would seem to be clear that it's referring to a bracha, a specific bracha, in Shmona Esrei, and not, again, Shechyanu. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that it refers to Shechyanu, Zman Kol Shiva Mi'ika, do we recite Shechyanu all 7 days of Sukkis? Of Pesach, or all 8 days of Sukkis? To which the Gemara says, hello, Kasha, that's not a question. That's not a question, because the truth is, in certain respect, you do make a Shechyanu all the days. Why? Because if for some reason you forgot to make a Shechyanu on the first day of Yom Tov, then what? You make it on the second, and if you get on the second, you can make it all the way throughout the days of Yom Tov. So technically speaking, one could say that all the days of a particular Yom Tov are ro'i for Shechyanu. But 1 second, you require a cup of wine, right? We don't recite Shechyanu stam. We recite Shechyanu over a cup of wine by Kiddush. So say that this supports Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman holds that for Yom Tov, you can make the Shechyanu of Yom Tov, even in the marketplace. You don't have to do it over wine. Halo Kasha, the Iglaikos, that's not difficult. We could easily set this case up. We're just talking about a case where you have a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, Hatenach Atzeres v'Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim Heichi Ovid. So okay, so now okay, alright, fine. So let's say even if he got me on Rosh Hashanah, let's say even I agree to that. That's fine. Say so I'm making Shechyanu over a kos on Rosh Hashanah. How are you going to be making Shechyanu over a kos on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Imavarech. So I'll say this is a very simple answer. You can make this Shechyanu right before Yom Kippur. But I'll tell you why it's not going to work. Imavarech alei v'shasile kevan da'amar zman kabli alei v'asile. I will say, because if you are making the Shechyanu before you drink the cup of wine, then what? The recitation of Shechyanu, by definition, is the acceptance of the fast day, is the acceptance of the Yom Tov. Once you accept the Yom Tov on yourself, then what? Then obviously you can't drink the wine. The Ha'amr Le Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba L'Rav Mi Badalt Va'amr Le In Badilna. We actually had this case before. So Rav Yirmiyah said, Rashi points out over here that the case over here is where it was an Erev Shabbos and it became very cloudy and Rav made a mistake and Davin Kabbalah Shabbos, Davin Mairif already while it was still day. And ultimately, again, at that point in time, he had accepted Shabbos even though what? Even though it was still technically day. So what the point that Gemara is making over here is that Lemaisa was through some form of acceptance, even if it's not yet the technical time for the tefillah, acceptance of the Yom Tov, acceptance of the Yom Tov puts you in the Yom Tov. So if you say Shechyanu, that makes it Yom Kippur for you. If it makes it Yom Kippur for you, you can't drink the kos. To which the Gemara says, Vilanche, so maybe you'll say, okay, it's fine, don't drink the kos. So make the Shechyanu over the cup, and don't drink the cup. What's the big deal? To which the Gemara says, Hamevarech tzarech sheyito. No, because Lemaisa, when you make a bracha over a cup of wine, you have to drink of the wine. You have to drink of the wine. I will say that has to do with the din of honor for the kosher bracha. To make a bracha over a kos and not drink from the kos is like a lack of covenant for the kos itself, the kosher bracha. So you can't just make a bracha and leave it there. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a better idea. Leisvei liyinuka. The good old days, right? Give it to a kid. Right, what's the deal? Give it to the child, and the child will go ahead and drink it. To which the Gemara says, "Less hilchasa kravachan." I will say the problem with that, of course, is that technically speaking, it might already be yom tov. So when it's yom tov already, meaning you'll say the child doesn't have to fast. So it's simple. Let the child do it. So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe the halacha doesn't follow Ravacha." So we'll say Ravacha is of the opinion that lemaisa you could go ahead and you could have a child do yisurim. Right, since the child himself is not chayiv in anything yet, you could have him do Isurim. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe we don't pass him like Rav Acha. Why? Dilma Asi L'Misrach. I will say, it's very bad chinuch to allow children to do things that are asur, even though technically speaking, they are not obligated in it. Why? Because it habituates them in negative behavior. This is always this is why sometimes when parents try to, you know, push the baby against the light switch, or, you know, get the baby to do the thermostat. Although technically speaking, it's not us, sir. But again, we tend to reject this approach because we don't want to give the child negative chinuch. My havi Allah. So the Gemara says, what is the conclusion? So the Gemara says, so now what we've seen is, we've seen already that we seem to have a positive text, maybe a proof text, but at the end of the day, what is the din with Shachiyano? My havi Allah. To which the Gemara says, Shadruha Rabbana l'Raviyimar Sabo, Kameid Rav Chista, B'ma'ali Yom Adirei Shasa. So this is what we'll say, it's very interesting. So the rabbi sent Rav Yemar the elder to go and observe Rav Chista on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Amrulei, they said to him, Zil Chazi Hechi Avid Uvda, Ta Imalon Ki Chazi. So he said to Rav Yemar, listen, go to Rav Chista. This is so interesting. And tell us what Rav Chista was the ranking sage. Tell us what does Rav Chista do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. What they want to see is, does Rav Chista make a Shechianu on Erev Rosh Hashanah or not? That's what we want to see. So the Gemara says, Amalei. So what happens? Rav Yemar shows up, and Rav Chista sees him. So Rav Chista makes a very interesting statement. He says, "Dilave l'retiva, rafsa le biduchte." So Rav Chista said to Rav Yemar, he said, he who lifts up moist wood clearly needs a place to sit. And I'll say, what does that mean? So apparently, if one were to pick up a moist log, so there's only one reason why one's picking that up. Since it's moist, it's not really usable for firewood. It's not usable. So the only reason you would be picking it up is why? Because you want to sit in the place that it was occupying. So Rav Chista says to Rav Yemar, why are you here? Right, obviously this is not a social. This it's Erev Yontif. So obviously, if you're here, for a purpose, right? You're obviously here to ask you something, or to learn something, or to observe something. So what does he do? I sule kasa de chamra. They brought Rav Chista a cup of wine. Kaddish. He made kiddish. The amar zman, and he said shechiyonu. And Abu Sa'id the hilchasa the halacha is omer zman beRosh Hashanah obi yom kippurim. We say Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. The Hilchasa Zman Omro Afilu Bashuk. And the other halach, the way we pass him is what? Is that Shachyanu need not be recited on a cup of wine. Shachyanu can even be recited in the marketplace. So that's another way of saying is that Lamaisa, first of all, say that it's true ramifications. First of all, for us on Yom Kippur, that's why again by us the Shliach Tzipor says it right after Komnij, right? That is, and we're Yodseh with that Beracha, that Shachyanu. And what it also means is that if for some reason you forgot Shachyanu, let's say in Kiddush, on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkis, and you remember on Cholamayim. Remember Cholamayim, so what can you do? You can recite Shachyanu wherever you are, and it need not be recited over a cup of wine. So we'll say, we got a lot of halacha lemaisa today. So first of all, number one, we don't say, no mention of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah, but rather again, the zichron of Rosh Chodesh is nichlal in Rosh Hashanah. Number two, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, or to that matter, Rosh Hashanah falls out, we don't make a separate bracha, rather we include everything, we're kolam. We include everything in the one bracha of the Birchas Hayom, of the bracha of the day. Number two, we make Shachyanu even by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And number four, the Ma'aseh Shachyanu could be recited Afilu B'Shuk. Okay.